Episode 320 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, brought to you by DRF Sports, and we tricked a female athlete to come onto our podcast. We don't get many of those around here. I don't know how we did it, but we did. Lauren Guerin joins the show, three-time All-American, two-time Big Ten floor champ. You guys are going to like this one. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, to episode 320 of the podcast. Today, we are going off script. We're doing something that we don't normally do around here. For one, I am by myself. Lauren, usually there's two others with me, and I didn't hit you with the full barrage. I don't know if we needed to do that to you, but I am joined, listeners, by Lauren Guerin, three-time All-American.
Yes.
Two-time Big Ten floor champion.
Yes.
And very recent graduate of the University of Iowa. Lauren, yeah. Thanks for joining the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
How was the walk across the stage on Saturday? I was actually there watching my brother walk as well.
It was actually pretty short. I was expecting to like walk the whole stage, but they kind of had two people going at once. So it was like two steps and you were done. But yeah. It was exciting. Yeah.
Did it give you a chance to reflect on your career a little bit and walk across the stage in the same place that you got to compete in for 4 years?
Yeah, it definitely was kind of like cool to like finish there, considering like that we competed there all throughout the 4 years. But yeah, I try not to think about it too much because it was sad, but it was a cool way to end for sure.
Are you an emotional person?
No, I try not to think about them at all.
Okay. So block them out, just push them down.
Yeah, just absolutely block them out.
Cool.
As best as I can.
Cool. I know that when I ended my career, it was very emotional.
Yeah. And
to cry in front of a whole locker room of guys is a very vulnerable thing. So I've been there.
Well, okay. After the last meet, I definitely was crying.
Oh, of course.
Beyond that, I try not to think about it.
Did you enjoy competing in Carver? Was it a cool place to compete?
Yes, absolutely. And just having the fans there, like, was such a great atmosphere. Of course, like junior year, like we couldn't really have anybody there besides our family, which was still great to have them there, but it was just not the same at all. So having everyone back this year was like, it's always so much fun.
It probably felt right.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you're so
fun, like meeting all like the little fans, like it's my favorite part.
Yeah. Is that weird to you? Did it ever, when I played football and I wasn't one of the important players, but when I played, it was always, you're so hyper focused on trying to be the best athlete, trying to manage school and athletics at the same time. And a lot of times it was easy for the brevity of the situation to hit you. Like when you're a little girl for you or a little guy for me, you look up to the people who are in our situation and they are like superheroes. Right.
Yeah. Right.
But when you then, like during my 4 or 5 years, I didn't ever really consider myself as a superhero.
Yeah.
So it's hard to see that perspective. Did that ever hit you while you were, you know, over the course of your 4 years in Iowa City?
I mean, kind of, yeah. Like it's still weird to me that I'm like, oh, people like know who I am. But like, yeah, I just think it's super cool. And like, of course, when I was like one of those little girls, like I looked up to like similar people and just like, I don't know, just trying to be such a good role model and just like, yeah, it kind of did hit me, but like, I don't know, like in a good way, like I didn't let it get to my head. Like, I just like,
sure. Yeah. Sure.
I think it's like super amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of the cooler things. You'll think about it more as you get further away from competition. It's definitely something that's really, really cool.
Right.
We talked about it. You're back in Texas now, warmer weather than here in Iowa, although it has started to warm up a little bit for us Iowans. You're from Texas originally, Dallas, Texas, right?
From Austin.
You're from Austin.
Yeah.
But now you're going to be?
In chiropractic school in Dallas.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did you find your way to Iowa City?
Really, I was just obviously looking for a way to continue my gymnastics career.
Yeah.
So I toured a bunch of different places, talked to a bunch of different coaches. And I mean, the places I visited were nice, but I just wasn't really feeling like I fit in. Like either like the coach was super intimidating or the team was just like, I don't know. And then I visited Iowa, and the second I walked in, like all of the girls on the team like came up, like hugged us, introduced us, like talked to my parents, like, and just getting to know like Larissa throughout that whole weekend was just like, I instantly fell in love. Just like the atmosphere and like the culture that she has really just like, it's such a family environment. And everyone kind of says that like, oh, like her team is such a family, but like, we really do like put in the principles of like, you know, respecting each other. Like we're all sisters. Like, yeah, just, we all function as like one big family. So like getting onto campus and seeing that, like I was sold. I didn't tour anywhere else after that. I was like,
cool.
Yeah, like I have to go there.
What other places were, I assume, so were you full scholarship to Iowa?
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. This,
yeah.
You probably haven't done any background on our podcast, which would make sense, but our whole thing is we all walked on, the three of us that do this podcast.
Yeah. Well, I figured with the name.
Yes. Yeah. So scholarships are pretty cool around here.
Yes, absolutely.
It was where else did you have opportunities?
Bowling Green State University.
Yep.
In Ohio, which is a pretty small school, but I mean, the team again seemed like it was a really good atmosphere. I toured a school in Utah. I was talking to a bunch of different coaches. I toured at OU, and just like, they were all good, but it was hard like to figure out what I wanted. Cause obviously OU was like one of the best in the country. And then Bowling Green was like a smaller school. So it was like pretty different scales. So finding Iowa was like the perfect balance of like a big school that will let me have good opportunities, but not like too big to where I would like just get lost in it all.
Sure. So, yeah. Cause you still want to be able to find a path, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Be able to be a star a little bit. You were able to do that, by the way.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Iowa City is a little different than Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Mainly the winters.
Yeah, that was definitely a change.
How'd you go about adjusting to that? Like, was that a big shift?
It was definitely a big shift, especially because my freshman year was when the polar vortex happened, and it was literally negative 54 outside. And that was like absolutely ridiculous to me.
You didn't even know that could happen, huh?
No, that's crazy. And then so just like that. And then, you know, the warmer days, it was still like negative 24 outside, and I had to walk across campus to my classes. It was definitely an interesting.
You didn't rock the moped life?
I didn't, no.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're kind of scary. So
And
then once I got a house with some of my teammates, it's only like a 15-minute walk to the field house. So
okay, perfect.
Yeah, cool. Not bad, but definitely had to learn how to bundle and layer.
Oh man.
Yes.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
So for those listening, over the course of the next 20, 30 minutes, however long Lauren and I go, there's going to be some dumb questions for Lauren, maybe hopefully informative for me and some of you guys who are obviously more of a football listenership. So my first one here is going to be, Lauren, can you explain or sort of break down, and maybe it's not even the way I see it, but the path of like Olympic gymnast versus college gymnast, because a lot of the Olympians are usually college age, right? Like they're not, or younger. Like I remember watching Sean Johnson, huge in the state of Iowa. Mm-hmm. I think she won, or, you know, she was big and had her big Olympics when she was 16.
Yeah.
So at what age, and I assume you like, and maybe I'm wrong, you can tell me, you've been doing gymnastics your whole life.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right. The story, you're tumbling at like 2 or 3 years old, it turns into gymnastics. Yes. At what point does that fork in the road come?
Okay. So I would say for me, I started when I was 3 years old, mm-hmm. and that seems incredibly young, but that's like pretty much the standard age in gymnastics. Right. And then I'd say usually like to start elite, kids are usually probably like 10 to 12.
Wow.
I mean, now I'm sure it's like, it's getting a little bit older, especially with like, you know, Simone is like mid 20s now. Mm-hmm. And then we had some like older Olympians this year, but like the standard used to be like all the Olympians were like 16, 17.
Yeah, the Russians are bringing like 12-year-olds there. It's crazy.
Yeah. So really you start on the path when you're about 12 to do like elite gymnastics.
Wow.
And it's just like, it's like way harder skills. It's a lot more training. It's something that I like tried to venture into.
Yeah.
But then I got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. So,
oh man.
Yeah, that didn't really work out, but it's honestly kind of a blessing because my body would not have been able to hold up to elite training. It's just so intense and it's so much. And so yeah, elite is more like when you're younger and then, you know, you do more like international competitions.
Right.
And you have to go to like national team training camps. So it's just like a lot of time dedicated to that. And then college gymnastics, obviously like once you, I mean, a lot more Olympians now, especially with NIL, have been able to go to NCAA,
true,
especially after this Olympics, because, you know, they could still make money and compete in college, which has never happened before. So that really opened a door for a lot of Olympians to go into the NCAA.
Yeah.
But yeah, college is still like, you know, hard skills, but it focuses more on like the perfection side of things. And it might be like simpler skills. I mean, it's still hard.
Looks pretty hard to me.
Yeah. So just like trying to get like the perfect 10, whereas in elite, it's more like difficulty of skills.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
That does. It does. And it's interesting. So what training is for the elite when you start down that path, and it's basically a lifestyle at that point, like you're trying to make it your profession for basically as long as your body holds up, right?
Yes.
Which is a whole other thing in gymnastics that seems to be like the issue is like eventually your body just can't handle it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are training like what, 8 hours a day?
Yeah. Over? I mean, even I wasn't even technically an elite, but we had a charter school at my gym that was run through UT. So I would go to practice 7:30 to 10. Oh no, 7 to 10, and then class would be 10:15 to 3:15, then practice 3:30 to 7. Every single day, we had Wednesday afternoons off, Thursday mornings off, and then we had Saturday practice like 9 to 12:30. And that's like not even elite training schedule. So like elite would probably do something similar, but like maybe even more hours.
Oh my God.
And, you know, most of them go to like homeschooling, online schooling.
And that, right. Yeah, you can't. And that was your schedule during high school?
From 5th grade to 8th grade, I went to the charter school. And then I did 1.5 years of public high school. And then I switched online for the rest because just like my training schedule and trying to travel for recruiting and competitions, like it was just too much to do public high school personally.
Oh God, that's insane.
Yeah, it's intense for sure.
Like that's actually crazy.
Yeah, it's like your full lifestyle, like full year round too. Like summers aren't off. It's like the same training schedule. So
is it worth it?
For the college experience, yes.
Yeah.
But like my club, okay, I had a good club experience. Like my coaches were great, teammates were great. But like I was just like, was it worth like not having any friends? Like
right.
I mean, but it was worth it to make it to Iowa. So sure. I would say. Yes, it was tough, but yes.
You got to sacrifice some things for, you know.
Yeah.
That's, wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
That is wild. Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, of
course. We got that one cleared up. Before we get back to me asking Lauren Guerin some dumb questions, making me sound like an idiot, let's talk about DRF Sports. Some people who are not idiots, some people who are trying to make you a little cash, and of course they've been supporting the podcast. They've got daily NBA odds boosts, and that sounds pretty good to us. Is Steph Curry going to notch a double-double? Is Jason Tatum going to score the first basket? Player props like these are boosted every single day at DRF Sportsbook. They want to see you cash in this NBA playoffs and are boosting all sorts of bets. So head over to the DRF Sportsbook app or ia.drf.com and start betting today. Now that your career's over, again, sort of on the reflection path of, you know, graduating the other day, did Iowa and your 4 years here, did it live up to expectations or what you thought it was going to be, or did you have expectations, or what was that like coming in?
I would say I had pretty much no expectations. So it far and beyond exceeded everything I could have ever imagined. I mean, you know, I kind of had confidence that I was a good gymnast, but I really didn't get, I only competed like my sophomore and junior year in high school just because of injuries and stuff. So I was like, you know, I wanted to have a good career, but I really had no idea what to expect. I went in not even a full year off of a shoulder surgery. So it was just kind of like, well, I don't even know if I'm going to compete my freshman season. Thankfully I was able to, but yeah, I really had no expectations other than, you know, try to be good, try to make That's, lineups, but yeah.
You did that, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
So you come in, you're and you did it quickly, right? Like to be a three-time All-American, you have to do that in your sophomore year. So, what do you attribute the quick rise from, I don't know if I can make a roster, to I'm in an All-American floor routine? Like what happened in those 2 years? Like, can you put words to it? Was there something that clicked? Was there just, physically, did you catch, you know, you catch some breaks, or you just sort of started to find yourself? Explain it to me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's not like an exact moment that I can like pinpoint, but I guess just like I competed well throughout all my 4 years. I never missed a single competition. And that's like pretty rare for a freshman to compete on two events for the entire season, but we really didn't have any other options. So just like, I guess getting that experience my freshman year and just like kind of learning how NCAA worked and yeah, just like kind of finding myself, finding like how to perfect my skills. And then, you know, going into sophomore year, it's like, okay, well, I have to like beat what I did freshman year. And then, you know, just wanting to build and improve every single year.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I guess just like trying to strive to be perfect and not settling with anything less.
Yeah. What goes into being an All-American? How many All-Americans are selected each year? Is it, and I assume it's by the route, by event?
Yeah, they do it by event, and then also like they have all around, which is like all four events. So they have, it's called Road to Nationals is the website, and they'll rank everyone who's competing. So it's called the national qualifying scores, what they base it off of. Mm-hmm. So it's your top six scores, you drop the high and then average the rest. So that is like your national qualifying score, and that's how they like rank you. So they'll rank on every single event, and then the top 16 are all Americans. The top eight are first team, and then 9 through 16 are second team.
Okay. So it's based off of, okay, cool.
Yeah. Just like your score average, basically.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats, by the way, all Americans, pretty badass.
Thank you. Yeah. It was pretty exciting. That was one goal I had coming in. I didn't even know what it meant, but yeah.
And then you did it three times.
Yes.
Did you do gymnastics because you liked competing, or was it just for the love of actual gymnastics, or what drove you? What was the background motivation? Because we didn't even as football players have that kind of schedule as a young kid. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, most 12-year-olds are like, screw you, I'm going to try and go play video games. Like, I want to go play with my friends. Where was the driving factor? Was it always just that competition, a fire inside of you, or?
I honestly didn't get the competitive drive, like love for competition, until college. So really it was just love and stubbornness.
Good.
Just like I really enjoy like flipping and, you know, doing all that and just like putting in so much hard work. So I don't know. I guess I just never, even when it got tough and like club, I just never let myself quit, which probably like could have at some point, you know, just like chill out. It's not that serious. It's just a sport. But yeah, I don't know. I just kept pushing. And then once I got to Iowa, I finally like found like the love for competition, and like I really thrived in that environment, which I didn't necessarily do in like in high school and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I guess just like being in like a really fun environment and just, yeah, it just really changed.
Maybe that was the switch where you went from, you know, young gun coming into being very competitive. What kind of training did you guys do, like outside of the actual practice? Like, how much weight room stuff went on, or if any?
So once we got to college, I had never like been in a weight room before. Right. Like the only gym I'd been in was like a gymnastics gym.
Right.
So learning how to do some of that stuff was like different, but we do twice a week, Tuesday, Thursdays, super early in the morning, of course. We don't
Is even better when it's super cold out.
Yeah. It was so fun. Cold and snowing. Your feet are wet from walking. It was great. We don't do a ton of like heavy squatting and like heavy stuff just because we have so much like pressure in our joints and everything
right
during the sport. But I guess just like nothing too intense, just trying to like maintain the strength. And I was gonna say we squat, but it's like kind of like on a flywheel, so like however much you pull down, it'll like pull back on you, so it's more just like kind of self-resistant.
So all of your out of the gym that you were in was more preventative PT type stuff.
I would say, yeah, for sure. I mean, and like, you know, trying to build strength, but yeah, more like if anything hurt us, like immediately take it out. Like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
try to save our bodies.
Because with gymnastics, most of the stuff you're doing, or at least a lot of the stuff, especially on bars, if you're a guy, you're on rings, that kind of stuff. That is building the strength.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of body weight control anyway.
Yes.
How much like, body care went into it, into like training, like stretching and mobility type stuff? How much of that stuff did you guys
do? I mean, obviously we stretched before and after practice. I wouldn't say it's anything like overly excessive, because I feel like once you get to college, if you're not flexible, it's not going to happen then.
Yeah. Y'all got some stupid limbs and flexibility. That's
for sure. Yeah. So that, and then just like dynamic warm-up stuff. And then of course, like the athletic trainer, you know, we'd see like before and after practice for whatever we need.
Sure.
So yeah, really just like doing what you need. I mean, I live on like a foam roller.
Yeah,
I don't know what I would do without
that kind
it.
Of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Other gymnasts, not so much, but yeah, I would die without that. So
yeah. Kind of whatever. It's a bit of a lifesaver, huh?
Yes.
Absolutely. Did you guys have like those compression boots or ever do? Yes. Yeah, Normatec.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys
do that sometimes, just like depending on what you feel.
Cause that amount of training, I'm if the other guys were here, they would totally crap on me right now. And all the listeners are gonna think I'm talking myself up. I do a lot of CrossFit now.
Yeah.
2 to 3 hours a day. I'm trying to be competitive. It's not about me, but even that amount of training.
Right.
My body is hurting all the time. So
I'm sure CrossFit is crazy.
Yeah. So foam rolling, you know, inversion table.
Yeah.
Lacrosse ball, just digging into.
Lacrosse ball is my other lifesaver for the back. Okay. It's a necessity.
I was curious. You start to put it together sophomore year, you're putting out scores. It's not like scores are hidden, right? You can see what everybody else is putting out. You said it's ranked on this website, so you can kind of see where you're at.
Right.
You start to realize like, oh shit, I'm in contention for like some serious stuff here.
Yeah.
What did that feel like?
I guess I didn't even realize until season was canceled that I could possibly be an All-American, just because like I try not to like pay attention to that stuff. Of course,
this year.
I definitely did. But yeah, I don't know. I just like kind of try not to think about it and try to just like put out the best that I could possibly be. And, you know, we're like, we can't really control the scores or what the judges do. So like, I don't know, just going like out there and doing the best that I could do and just not hoping for the best, but yeah, just kind of like controlling what I can control. Cool. So it was definitely like, it was sad that season got canceled, but I was like, oh, but like I ended at All-American. So how like sad can I be? Cause
right.
I don't know, you know, if we kept on going and if we had more scores, like would that have happened? So yeah, I don't know. But it was really cool.
Silver lining.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that built a fire, because then it was like, okay.
Yeah.
It almost
next year.
Right. It almost set the expectation.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned Coach Larissa Libby earlier, and I've never met her, but from what I see on social media and from what I hear from other people, she's like sort of a boss.
She's a queen. She's fantastic.
Like what makes her so great?
She just has such a wonderful personality. She's such a strong leader. She knows exactly what she believes in. She teaches us how to stand up for what we believe in and really just empowers us to be strong, independent women who can stand up for what we believe in. Yeah, she really just builds a culture of just excellence, both inside and out of the gym, just really, you know, making sure that we hold ourselves to high expectations and we treat everyone with respect. And yeah, she just really builds like an all around, like well-rounded woman. Like she doesn't just see you as an athlete, which I feel like other people can obviously get lost in, but she does such a good job of just making you like such a good person. Plus an athlete, but just like, yeah, she really does a good job of like creating such a family aspect. And she's just like, she's so outspoken. She's hilarious. She is the most supportive to us. Yeah. She's just the best.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love the clips that I see of her on like the gymnastics, Instagram and Twitter. It's pretty great.
She's great.
So another dumb question time. Mm-hmm. So I listened to another podcast that you were on.
Yes.
You were talking about how not just this year, but like many of the years you had to change your routine.
Yes.
like mid season.
Yeah.
Like meet to meet. Tell me why. Why would you do that?
Okay. Or
why would someone do that in general?
Right.
And then like what goes into that? Cause that, you know, cause it's not like they reschedule the meet like, oh, Lauren has to change her routine. We're going to move it back a few days. Like how quickly does something like that come together? And what does that look like in practice?
Yeah. So I guess it was just really like the dance and the music that I would change. All the tumbling would stay the same.
Okay.
I'd really say just for the like most part, just because I got bored of the last dance and I just wanted something new.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds bad, but like, I'm such like a competitive person that like, I just need something to continually like challenge me.
Sure.
So yeah, I guess that just like gave me like a unique challenge to look forward to. So yeah, I guess like Larissa would just find the music. I would genuinely like learn it like 2 to 3 days before the next competition. I mean, there's really not much time unless you do like in the off season and then learn it. But once you get to season, you're competing every single weekend. Yeah. So I would learn it. You know, this year I learned it 2 days before we left. And you know, I learned most of it in like one afternoon in like 3 hours. And it's just like Larissa choreographs it. So just spending a lot of time listening to the music, replaying it, and then just, I don't know, just trying out different dance, see what fits, kind of feeling what looks best and feels best. And
how many times would you run it front to back before it's like, all right, we're taking this to game day?
I would say I would do like the dance part of it quite a few times, but on many, well, I guess I did at least one a year. I don't think I've ever done it full out, like with the tumbling before I competed it. I would just go for it.
Wow. All
yeah. Right. Cool. I was gonna say, especially this year's one, I just kind of went for it. Hope I didn't forget the music and the dance and, you know, it worked out.
You think there's something about you that makes you more adaptable and to be able to handle that, or is that, would that be the norm for a lot of competitors, or something about you is just like, you can kind of roll with the flow?
I mean, I would say that I'm pretty easy, go with the flow kind of thing. I would say it's definitely not the norm in the competition, just because like people usually get it in the off season.
Right.
And, you know, it was kind of crazy to change it mid season. I'm not really sure too many other people do that like at all. I don't know. I just pick up on the dance quick. I don't know if it's anything special about me. I just like a challenge. So
the performative part, the dance part of a routine, can you explain that to me? Cause there's a lot of it.
Like, yeah,
it's, are you you're judged on that as well?
Yeah, just kind of like the artistry part of it and like the presentation of it. It's not necessarily like, oh, she kind of flexed her foot in the dance, like we'll take off. It's more just like, you know, you have to have like a leap. Just like the dance, like elements, you have to have like enough difficulty in. So you have to do like a certain amount of like leaps and jumps, or you can do like turns and stuff. So I'd say like a routine is usually like a minute and a half long. Some are shorter just because like of, you know, dance and difficulty of your skills and stuff. But yeah, just like trying to show off and make
I was going to say some of the stuff is just in the, it's just fluff. It's just in there for fun.
Yeah, I mean, NCAA is really about just like entertainment and having fun. So just trying to make their team like, interesting to watch and fun for the audience and viewers.
It's just sort of one of the quirks of gymnastics, college gymnastics. That's cool. I like yours a lot. I just watched it before we got on here. The
Oh, thank you.
like
Appreciate
the when you do like the quick like heavy look to your team
it.
and it matches with the music, that like fires me up.
Yeah, it's pretty fun to do for sure.
Does that have the adrenaline going when you're out there? Like I have to imagine it. Like when you're out performing in Carver or wherever, right? Do you feel like when you hit the mat and you go into the air, sometimes you're like, oh shit, there's a little more air here than in practice because it's that the adrenaline's rolling and you and everything kind of lines up perfectly. Has that happened before?
I mean, I definitely do have like a rush of adrenaline
Yeah.
during the meet, but I would say like I definitely learned how to control it.
Yeah.
And sometimes floors are bouncier than others, so it's just like kind of adjusting to that in the warm up. But yeah, just like trying to like calm myself down before I compete so I don't like overdo it, because that
Yeah.
definitely is easy for me to do. But yeah, I guess I just really learned how to control that.
Turn
And
a one into a one and a half real quick and get hurt.
yeah, I guess I've just like learned how to be composed on the outside, even if I'm freaking out on the inside.
You have to.
Yeah.
How, what helped you kind of sift through that, like the mental side of competing and like, you know, kind of holding that down and staying composed? Was there any tactics that you used?
I mean, I guess just like visualizing like myself doing the skills, just like deep breaths. I don't know, something like crazy. I just like try to like block everything else out. And like before I go on floor, like the girls like are going in front of me. Like I like kind of watch, but it's also just like I'm trying to like get in my own zone. And just
Sure.
like I'll step off to the side and just like, yeah, I'm just trying to block everything out, all the
Yeah.
noise, everything that's going on. Yeah, I don't know, just get laser focused.
Was there ever a time during your career where you hit like some real turbulence, like struggle with school and managing school and athletics, or like for some reason you were just in a rut, or was there any of that during your 4 years?
I mean, definitely there's rough patches for sure. There's not like one singular time that I was like can really think of.
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess just like especially preseason is so hard. It just like super intense, like both in like the weight room and like in practice, and you're just doing super high numbers and stuff. So like yeah, my freshman year I was dealing with my bad shoulder during preseason. Sophomore year had a bad back. Junior year, oh, I broke my hand 3 weeks before our season started, but I still competed at the first meet.
I mean, you're still all American somehow.
I got a rod placed, and then 3 weeks later, I was competing. Didn't even do a floor routine before I went out there and competed in it, so that was fun. And then our senior year, I got COVID right around Thanksgiving, and that was tough to come back from. But yeah, I guess just like trying to push through it, leaning on your support system.
You're just a resilient person.
I mean, I'm pretty humble. I won't call myself that, but yeah, you're not wrong.
I will. You guys went 9-0 and were the regular season champions in
Yeah, my
22,
junior year, so
your
last
junior
year.
year.
Yes, I'm wearing the shirt for it.
Yeah, that's first of all incredible. Maybe more incredible, the year prior you guys were 2-7. How so, like explain that. Because in football, if a team goes I guess if we you know, 3-8, 3-9, and then comes back the next year and is like 11-1 or 12-0. Like that's almost unheard of. Like how did that happen? And what happened? Obviously, there's probably a change of lineup. And so that's a little bit different, right? But that's a big gap. Did Coach Libby have you guys just running sprints and to make sure you guys were gonna to get it done the next year, or what? What was going on?
I mean, I guess it's hard to like pinpoint what attributed to that. I mean, of course, bringing in different people into lineups that could contribute higher scores always helps, of course.
Right.
But I feel like, and I don't want to blame COVID, but I feel like we started training like later on just because, you know, athletics shut us down for a little bit. And then I just think like, instead of peaking earlier in the season, we just like kept on getting better and our peak was later, which really helped. And we were so strict with like being completely locked down. We didn't have like a single COVID case throughout the whole season, whereas other teams were, you know, struggling to practice and compete just because they kept on like, you know, having COVID cases and they couldn't really like get a full schedule. But I don't know, I guess that like, I don't know if that's the reason why, but it's just like, we were so locked in and just like, I guess like starting heavy, like training, like a little bit later, really just like helped us prolong in the season. I don't know.
No, you answered it perfectly. I think without saying it, what you're saying is like your guys' culture was better.
I mean, yeah.
Like, because to lock college kids down,
It was tough. It was not easy. I'll tell you that. The only people I saw without a mask was my three other roommates, even our teammates. We did not see anybody without a mask. Like we practiced in masks, like wow. Full, like all the way up. Like it was like, wouldn't see our parents. They would come in for the meets. We would wave from a distance. Like it was, I'm not going to lie. It was pretty terrible, but the season was great. So
it paid off.
Yeah, it really did.
And Iowa football is obviously they're a big culture team.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe similar to Iowa gymnastics, like y'all don't get the best recruits in the country. And so if you're going to go and compete with better teams, right.
Like,
there's got to be some edge that you gain somewhere else.
Yeah.
There's plenty of places to do that. And I think you answered it perfectly. 9-0. That's got to feel pretty good.
It was really exciting, especially Big Ten champions for the first time in program history. I mean, that was really cool to be a part of.
You guys did had some other firsts, like this year, I believe, was the first time in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
How does that feel to do that, but then also, and I don't know what leadership looks like inside of on a gymnast team, but like, I imagine that you had a pretty big part in the elder leadership of the squad this year. So like, what does that mean to you?
Honestly, it just means so much because with my senior class, like we were all like so incredible. We're all so like on the same page and so dedicated to, you know, the betterment of this team. And so our freshman year, when we were, you know, pretty much the entire lineup, we had to do like the play-in day for like regionals, which means like if you're in like the bottom, like ranked like 36 and on, like you have to like do a play-in day in the first day to regionals to even make it to day one of regionals.
Right.
So then to go from like having to do a play-in day because we were ranked so low to we not only made like we didn't have to compete in the play-in round, but we made it to the Sweet 16. Like it was just such like a crazy way to see like how much we have contributed to accelerating this program. And yeah, it was just like it was a really wonderful way to end all of our careers.
What does it look like from your standpoint? And it sounds like the rest of your class's standpoint as a strong, like senior leadership class to lead and sort of, show the way for the younger student athletes on the team. Like what does that look like and how did you approach that? Was it an active thing for you or you just kind of tried to do your best, not really think about, oh, I'm a leader, I need to lead, but
right.
How did that sort of matriculate?
I mean, I guess it's hard. Like it helps that my class was on the same page. So like, right. If we felt that something needed to be improved, we would meet with each other and then we would do like a team meeting with like all the girls and just like kind of really lay out our expectations and what we thought. I mean, before we even started the season, we kind of like made like a timeline of like, okay, the first half of the season, we want to accomplish this, second half, we want to accomplish this. And then just like acknowledging like the big goals, but then also having like little goals on how we're going to get there. I guess I'm not always like the most outspoken one on the team, but I always like try to set like a good leadership, like in my actions. Mm-hmm. So just like, obviously I strive for perfection, every single routine. I'm not going to settle with less. So I think just like kind of teaching like the younger girls, like, okay, if you're not perfect, don't count that turn. Like just like demanding like excellence every single time you go. Just really like creating that competence. So then when you do compete, you can have confidence.
I love it.
Yeah.
What do you think? And now this is for the philosophical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn at the University of Iowa? You know, like, what did you take away from your 4 years? What will you remember most?
Really just the friendships. I never really had like a big team and club. Like I didn't really compete with that many other girls. So then coming onto a team with like so many girls, like the same age with the same goals, doing the same thing, like that was really unique and something that I'd never had. So, yeah, just like getting that experience was so much fun. And just knowing that like, no matter what, we're all sisters at the end of the day. Like, even if I'm like not as close to one person, like I know I can always like rely on them for anything. I can always talk to them with anything. So really just like having like such a great family environment, and two, just like all of our parents are so close now. So like after graduation, like all of my class and all of our parents and family, we're just like hanging out together. And it's just like, it's so fun. Like, I love these people, and like, these people I'm going to be like friends with for the rest of my life. And it's just like, yeah, it's so such a special opportunity to meet so many people, travel to so many different places that I never would have gone to. And just, yeah, some really great experiences. So I guess what I learned is that just, I'm really blessed.
Things worked out.
Yeah. I learned leadership, just a lot of things, just like learned about how to be confident in myself. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And now you're back in Texas for chiropractic school.
Yes.
And that's, I have a friend that's a chiropractor. I think that's like a 3-year process.
Yeah. It's about 3.5-ish.
They do like trimesters and.
Yeah. It's 10 trimesters. Yeah. So.
So yeah, you got a little bit. So, you know, just, it used to be hours and hours of training. Now it's just hours and hours of studying to be a chiropractor.
Yeah. I'm a little scared for it, but I'm excited.
It'll be cool. It'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think as I can speak for the Hawkeye Nation who is listening to the podcast, hopefully and probably undoubtedly enjoyed this episode with you, Lauren. Congrats on your career.
Thank you so much.
It was pretty cool to watch from afar. And thanks for being a Hawkeye.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. And just a thanks to Hawkeye Nation for all the support the last 4 years. It has been absolutely incredible, and they're really a great community to be a part of.
That's true. Hawkeye Nation is pretty elite.
Yeah.
Well, that is it. Again, thanks, Lauren, for coming on episode 320 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons with the 3-time All-American. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.